The following message, The Helmet of Salvation, was based on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. This message was delivered on Sunday evening, September 1st, 2019, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Cal Walden of Reformed Baptist Church of Lenawee, Adrian, Michigan.
I reminded the singles in one of our sessions that we now live in a season and in a war that is in between the declarative victory, the cross. Victory is assured because of the cross. But declaring full victory will not be known until the coming. So we're living in this season between the cross and His coming. And even though the victory is secure, it is sure, we still live in a season in which there will be casualties and challenges as we await the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, victorious. So it's in light of that that the Apostle Paul writes these words to the church at Ephesus, there starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all power and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, we come this afternoon to consider together the fifth piece of armor. There is the belt of truth, examining the sincerity of my entering into this conflict. The breastplate of righteousness, relying upon the perfect righteousness of Christ and striving to be more like Him through the conflict. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, preaching the gospel to myself every day, bringing calmness in the midst of the conflict. The shield of faith, living by faith and trusting in the goodness of God as I continue in the conflict. And now we come to the helmet of salvation. Paul has made several things very clear to the reader concerning this spiritual warfare. He's made it clear we have a fierce enemy, fierce opposition. There is the scheming of the devil. There is the innumerable host of evil spirits, evil forces. There is a real, personal, evil opposition that we face as we live in this world. Be aware of that. Be alert to that reality. Paul's also made it very clear that his purpose, the enemy's purpose, is to destroy, to discourage, to dishearten. He wants to bring us down. He wants to see us fall. And that's why Paul exhorts us three times in this passage, stand. Stand. When I think of a year from now, I mean, it's hard to believe it was a year ago that we were here doing this. And I wonder if a year from now, and I do not plan to be here. Who knows? But a year from now, will we all still be standing? And the sad reality is that some of us, God forbid, but some of us may fall as a casualty to the opposition. I pray not. I pray a year from now, by God's grace, we're continuing to stand. And the third thing Paul makes clear to us is that we have a duty to put on the whole armor of God, because we're weak and we're vulnerable. And the only way a year from now any one of us are still going to be standing is in the power of the Lord, in His strength and the power of His might, putting on the whole armor of God. And I pray that none of us are so foolish that we think we can engage in this warfare on our own. We can't. I think we need a couple things. We need the Lord, first and foremost. But I also think we need each other. We need each other in this battle. And so may God help us to be faithful to our duty. Now, as we come to this fifth piece of armor, my outline may seem familiar. Because first of all, I want to look at the armor described. It's a helmet. A Roman soldier would wear a helmet. No foot soldier would ever go into battle without a helmet. A blow to the head could be fatal. It could mean death. A blow to the head by an advancing soldier with a sword could cause either great damage that would be hard to recover from, or death. The helmet was usually made of leather with metal pieces over them. Or some were solid cast metal, bronze or iron. It would be strong enough to defend a soldier from a blow from what they would call a broad sword. This would be a sword that would be huge. And in fact, they would take both hands and begin to swing that sword like a bat. And as they engaged in that hand-to-hand combat with that sword, you know what they're going for? Your head. So they're swinging that thing, trying to kill you by decapping you. And so they wore this for a protection. It would even cover the back of the neck. And some would have a mask type piece in the front to protect the eyes and the nose. But at the end of the day, the purpose of the sword was to protect the head. Wearing a helmet points to the danger that surrounds the individual who's wearing it. You see, a man wouldn't wear a helmet just to go get a drink of water. None of you are wearing helmets. Apparently, you're not feeling the danger of losing your head. But you would wear it when you knew you'd be in danger. And so that's the armor described. But now, secondly, notice the armor applied. Paul would have his readers think of this spiritual conflict that they're engaged in and see the importance of wearing the helmet as compared to that of salvation. It is called the helmet of salvation. It is a piece of armor to salvation. So here's the question. What is meant by salvation? And how is it to be used in this battle? What exactly does he mean when he said it's a helmet of salvation? The scriptures, they speak about three aspects of salvation. The first one is this. When you first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you were saved from the penalty of sin, that is what we would call the doctrine of justification. For by grace are you saved through faith. So when the scriptures speak of salvation, one of the aspects is the fact that I can know my sins are forgiven. I can have a right relationship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed from my sin, from the bondage of sin. I have been delivered. That's one of the aspects of salvation. But also the scriptures speak of salvation in this way. At the present time, you are being saved from the power of sin. This is what we call the doctrine of sanctification. We're growing in our relationship to God. We're growing more and more into the conformity of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, a verse that probably many of us are familiar with, what? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now he's not telling us, work out so that you can know your sins are forgiven. He's telling us it is our responsibility to diligently give ourselves to the pursuit of holiness and godliness. That's the second aspect of salvation in the scriptures. The third aspect is that of future salvation. Future salvation. What we call glorification. Ultimate, consummate salvation in Jesus Christ. That salvation that we're looking forward to. So, we are saved from the power of sin, the dominion of sin in the new birth, justification. We are being saved in growing in our relationship to God. And we will be saved when Jesus Christ comes again. Romans 13:11. salvation, he says, is nearer than when you first believed. The term salvation includes all three of those thoughts. From when you first receive Christ, till the time you enter heaven and enjoy being in the presence of God. It has happened, it is happening, and it will happen. So what does Paul mean here? And you can imagine, men have different ideas and different thoughts. But I'm convinced that he has in mind particularly the third and future aspect of salvation. He's already dealt with the first two. That's one of the reasons I believe what he has in mind here is that future aspect. That day of Christ's return, that day of our glorification. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, "Let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and as a helmet the hope of salvation." Here, the helmet is considered the hope of salvation. Our hope as believers is that final aspect of salvation when we are free from the presence of sin. When there will be no more defilement of sin, no more decay of the body. We live in light of that blessed hope. It's hard for us even at times to comprehend that day. I don't think we fully understand or appreciate that day and what it will be like. And you know why? Well, you know why I don't think we really appreciate it? Because we're still stuck here and now. We tend to live for the present and not for eternity. The writer of Hebrews says, "You have this hope, and it is an anchor to the soul." An anchor to the soul. One man says, "Hope for the fulfillment of God's salvation promises is the anchor of the soul." I mean, we've been given many precious promises. But one of the promises that ought to aid us in this warfare and in this conflict is the promise that Jesus Christ is going to come again and set up his kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." What a glorious promise. What a glory. There's an inheritance that is ours. And it's imperishable, undefiled. It will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven. What a wonderful inheritance. I can't leave my kids anything that good. But that inheritance is mine in Christ Jesus. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 17. Christ himself is seen as the messianic warrior who has put on this armor, winning the victory for us at the cross when he defeated the devil. It says he put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. It is though Christ takes off the helmet that he wore and is giving it to us. Here, you're going to need this. Paul is telling us to take the helmet of salvation, to think and speak of the sure victory that Christ has procured for all who believe in him. It is a sure thing. Nobody can take it away. Nothing can separate us from it. It is guaranteed. So how's it to be used in the battle? Well, the helmet covers our head, and that points towards our minds, our thinking. You see, this is not calling believers to be saved from the penalty of sin. Nor is Paul calling us here to be growing in our salvation. But he would call upon us to be confident in ultimate salvation and being free from the penalty of sin. A confidence of a total salvation when we will be glorified. Paul, when he has his helmet of salvation, is maybe thinking of what he said there in Romans 8, where it says, "We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." We're longing for that day. This conflict can be difficult. This conflict is hard. There are struggles. How do we keep going? We're reminded of that which is ours in Christ Jesus. The victory is sure. The victory belongs to the Lord. And the day is coming when He will completely triumph over the evil one and cast him away forever. We have the battle plan, but the wonderful thing is, it tells us how it ends. I mean, I don't like living with uncertainty. Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? I don't know. But our Lord is so gracious. He says to us, live in light of the security that one day I'm coming back and I'm going to defeat Satan for good. No more struggle with sin. No more struggle with weariness. And Paul is telling us that the one weapon that we must have in this spiritual struggle that we're engaged in is the assurance concerning this salvation. I know I'm a child of God. I know that today I'm found in Him. And if I live my life with doubt about that reality, if I live with the uncertainty of my position in Christ, it's going to be more difficult to flee from the fret. But living knowing nothing can separate me from the love of God helps me persevere. Living in this life, knowing no matter how great the struggle becomes, no matter how much the arrows may hurt, we will be victorious. And we press on. Heard an illustration of a man who was an avid sports fan. And he loved basketball. But what he did was, instead of watching the game live, he would record it. And he would watch it later. And the first thing he did when he would watch the recorded game would go to the final buzzer and see who won. And the reason he did it, number one, if we lose, don't want to watch it. But if we win, how I'll enjoy the game. Because even if we get down by 20 points, I'm not pulling my hair out. I'm not yelling at the TV. I can sit back and enjoy the game because I know in the end we're going to win. And so it is in this battle. And sometimes when it gets so tough and those struggles are so real, and part of you wants to pull your hair out. And part of you wants to scream. To know that my salvation is secure gets me through it. To press on all the way to the end. Here's the promise. He who began the good work isn't going to desert you. He that began a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. This helmet is the believer's confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and an understanding of what He has accomplished for us. It began in eternity past and will be fully accomplished in eternity future. That's the helmet of salvation. Totally, the totality of our salvation is secure. We don't have to worry about Him losing His grip on us. We don't have to be concerned that somehow we're going to be deserted and cast off. I mean, at the end of the day, even in the midst of this battle, even if I have to face persecution that may call for my life, they can't take glory away from me. Can't do it. Kill me. I'm just gonna be more alive than ever before in Christ Jesus. Job understood this. Job 19. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, He will take His stand on earth. And even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I will see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see and not another. My heart faints within me. That was Job's testimony. after all he's gone through, he's able to say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to see him. Going to see him. Dear people of God, I trust that this is something we continually think about. I know for myself, I think very little of heaven. Not that I have a low view of heaven, I just don't think about heaven as much as I ought to. To my shame, I think far more about things on earth than I think about the glories that yet await me. What will that be like? To have no more defilement of the soul. To not face temptations. What would that be like? Wouldn't it be wonderful? And to realize there's coming a day, no more decay of the body. No more having gallbladder surgery. We'll have a new body, a glorified body. How much do we think of heaven? There's a young man, I say he's young, I think he's in his late 40s. That would make him young for me. And he attended our church for many, many years. And there were some really difficult days that we went through in those days many years ago. And he would struggle with salvation. He would struggle in his relationship to God. And there was just a lot of challenges. And we continued to work with him. And then him and his parents moved to Florida. And live in Florida, but we've kept contact. And that dear man has just grown in the Lord. I mean, I tell people, he's one of these guys that just keep me going. You know? To see his evident love for God and how he speaks of God's grace and of God's goodness. And some time ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. And the guy had to have half of his tongue cut out. Very difficult for him to speak, but he was going through all the treatments, thought things were going well. His father called me up, I think it was last week or week before last, and said, Kevin went to the hospital today, and he's sitting here listening to our conversation. But he has difficulty speaking. But he wanted me to call you and let you know that the cancer has now gone through his whole body. There's no more they can do. And the only thing I heard from Kevin were the words, I love you, Pastor. And I said to Kevin, because no doubt walking through death's door can be a little frightful just because it's something we've never experienced before. But my counsel to him was this, Kevin, whatever time God gives you, think about the glories of heaven. Just meditate upon the glories of heaven. You know, oftentimes when people are terminally ill or going through these illnesses, we try to comfort them with words like, you know, we're praying God will heal you. And there's nothing wrong with that. We do want to pray that God can work miracles, and that's all wonderful. But I think sometimes the greatest comfort we can give our brothers and sisters when they're going through such a thing is just to speak of heaven and anticipate that day. Look forward to that day. I've told the singles, one of my life's joy is being a grandpa. I love seeing my girls. In fact, the sacrifice, I'm supposed to be with my girls today. It's not a bad sacrifice. But I anticipate every chance I can go and be with them. I just enjoy them. I want to have that same anticipation with my Lord. I want to see Him one day. I want to be in His presence. I want to honor Him like I've never honored Him ever here upon earth. That day's coming. Don't know when. But it is. That reality is. And piece of the armor that we need to continually wear so that we will persevere to the end and cross the finish line well. The older I get, the more fearful I am that I will not finish well. But I want to finish well. And so, putting on the helmet of salvation, the confidence, the security of what awaits me, I trust will help me persevere to the very end. So what is the helmet of salvation? Well, I put it this way. It is considering the glorious, victorious end of this conflict. It will not last forever. And so the helmet of salvation, the armor that helps me in the midst of this conflict, is considering the glorious and the victorious end of this conflict. And so may God help us to put on the helmet of salvation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the confidence and the assurance that glory will be ours. That You who predestinated us from the beginning of the world will go with us all the way to that day of glorification. And Father, may we think more and more of those realities so that we might persevere in the midst of going through the conflict and the struggle. Knowing where our journey ends helps us to complete the course. And so Father, we pray that this helmet would be a piece of the armor that will be a means of persevering and standing till the very end. Father, for those who may be here, who the thought of standing in the presence of Christ is absolutely frightful, oh, may they see that they can stand before You without that fear, clothed in the righteousness of Your dear Son, and that You would awaken them and cause them to flee to Jesus even today. And so again, we ask that You would take Your word and do that which only You can do. Make it effective. Use it in our lives. Do us good with it. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.